I was reading an article by a Buddhist teacher this afternoon. He was asked by a student, how can I recognize an authentic spiritual teacher? In the article, he goes through all sorts of responses in his mind and talks about them in the article, such as, well, he didn't say this to the group. This is him thinking in his mind, how is he going to answer this question? A spiritual teacher seeks only the good of the pupil, and uses no seductive methods or tricks. And an authentic teacher is tranquil, humble, and unconcerned with material things, and is above all compassionate and all loving, and never gives an egotistic anger or self-serving personal emotions in. Well, he said, gee, well, you know, that and all the other normal answers really don't say anything, because it wouldn't help you solve the problem, because anybody, any teacher can be, oh, humble and compassionate and tranquil for a short period of time. And it still doesn't say anything about the validity of what the teacher may be offering. So he dismisses that kind of an answer and the all normal kinds of answers, until some gal in his group, because he did involve the group a little bit, after a certain time said, you know, I'm more interested in how open my mind is than I am knowing whether a person is an authentic teacher. And he said, you know, that's a good answer. Of course, that's typical of most of these kinds of teachers. They don't say anything. But it brings up a point. And if that is a real answer to the question, why does it that everybody on this phone seems to shut down and build walls around your mind when we discuss anything? Anybody want to pose an answer? Oh, he also said that opening of your mind applies in accordance with your need, which I've said before. You guys don't want to change or do anything until or unless, boy, you're sick, you're ill, you got financial problems, and everything else takes precedent. And so really, there's nobody on this phone that has any real needs. So am I assuming then that's why, from what I went through this last week, everybody seems to just shut down their mind, build walls around your thinking? Like right now, we're just getting an overabundant run of communication.
Well, I'll offer something. It occurs to me that the phenomenon that's involved in closing myself behind walls is the same that's involved my concern and fear about death.
But you're not good. If you close yourself behind walls, you have no possibility of then changing your fears and concerns about death. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, was there anything in your question that required that it make sense, or were you looking for possibilities about what might be going on?
I'm just suggesting then, and because, all right, let me change the subject here. What does what if mean to you, Patrick?
What if is an extraordinarily marvelous tool that allows me to have options that don't exist if I don't operate with a what if tool. What if enables me to try on all kinds of things, and what if, and then what if this, and then what if that, and
then my question to you is, if that's a valid answer, then why can't you just instead of shutting down because, let's say, there's a fear of death, why can't you just what if?
Well, it's funny that you should raise this, Roger. You and I must link sometimes in ways that I don't understand. I spent the better part of today looking at how different my life would be when I what if, and how that opens me up instead of closes me down. The other thing that I was thinking about today is that my bullheaded this or that makes me a perfect, absolutely perfect frontline warrior. Not a general, a warrior. And I've hung on to that warrior thing pretty hard, it seems. And I could remain a warrior if I wanted, but I could become a general warrior who would require what ifs all over the place, not the blind blasting into the lines to hack and kill, because it's kill or be killed. That's what I've been thinking about today, and it all around how different it would be in living what if. It's just extraordinary.
Okay. Let me ask this question. Now, think what if, since you bring it up this way. Is it okay for me to say, what if the universe only reacts?
Then the universe isn't anything at all that needs to be battled against.
Well, I didn't. You can go there. That's okay, because I didn't ask for a specific answer. But let's assume that if the universe only reacts, can we not say, what if the universe reacts? What if you command the universe by your actions? Does that make sense? The two put together.
We can put those together and it does make sense, yes.
In other words, if the universe only reacts and has no consciousness, it can't react to what you say, can't react to what you think, can't react to what you pray, it can only react to what you do.
My intention is meaningless to the universe.
All intention. The universe doesn't listen, doesn't hear, doesn't care. What if that's so?
Then it put together with what you just said about, then I can command the universe with my actions.
Okay, let's carry that a little bit further. What if, instead of saying que sera sera, which is what you do relative to death, what if you want to continue in one way or another, you have to do something about it now?
Yeah, I can't think about it.
That's right. It doesn't do you any good to think about it or hope about it or want about it or emotion about it, it ain't going to do you any good to feel bad, feel guilty, feel worse, right? You got to do something, God damn it. What if that's true?
What if that's true, then it's certainly worth acting.
Now, the reason 15 years ago I wrote to the descriptionary so far and then quit is because it didn't do any good, doesn't do any good to fix people or heal people or give them something new to think about when they're sick and ill. The point is, what can I give them to think about or do before they get into that stage? Make sense?
Yep. And didn't you say, or wouldn't you have said, think about and do?
I said it didn't do any good for them to think about or anything.
Okay. But so you wanted to give them something they can do while they're still healthy.
But I wanted to give them something to do before they got unhealthy.
Yeah, okay.
So for the last 15 years, this whole thing is only about that. What can you do before you get to death? What can you do before you get to illness? What can, or extreme illness, etc. How can you see what you're doing in the universe that's telling you this is what you're doing? I said at the time, when we first did the descriptionary, it wasn't a matter of whether somebody's, you know, some gal came up to me and said, my kid has such and such a cancer, and then I could tell her a whole lot about her kid's actions and ways and attitudes and stuff. But what I got into was, that doesn't do any good. If you tell me something about the kid, and I can then tell you the illness that kid is living, or living into his body, then maybe that then is using the descriptionary as preventive, okay?
Yep.
So everything since about 91, I think it is, when I quit writing it and said, okay, Connie, here's the start, here's the information, she copped a lot of the information and wrote her book, and that's okay. I told her she could do that. That's all right. If she wanted to play around with after the fact problems and symptoms and heal them, that was okay. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to, and I gave you the example of, it's in the first Forever Living book, that a gal said she wanted to be a healer right here in the house back in 1990 or 91. And I said, so you'd heal me if I came to you? She said, well, of course I would. And if I came back next week with the same problem, would you heal me? Well, yeah, you know, that's what I do. That's what my nature is all about. And if after you healed me, she was a massage therapist, among other things, and after you healed me, then the next week I came back again, would you heal me? Yeah, but this is getting kind of ridiculous. And the next week and the next week, if I came in, would you heal me? And she's starting to get really pissed off in that regard. Well, I said, then maybe you don't even want to be a healer. You want to be a teacher. You want to teach me how to live, or so as I don't get ill and have to come to you as a healer. And you said you would be a healer, and you'd be willing to be a healer forever and ever and ever. And now all of a sudden, first patient was me, and I've only come in a half a dozen times, and you already don't want to be a healer. I'm trying to show then that the whole purpose of everything I've ever said and done was to create a whole different environment that you can live or piss off. I don't really care in that regard. But if you don't live it, the information, then, or you struggle against that information, then that's going to show up in your body as an illness, okay?
Yep.
Now that I have been rewriting the introduction to the descriptionary, a lot of things have come up. The point to all of this is, every Monday night I get on here and we talk and talk and talk and talk, and then during the week I talk with three or four different people alone or personally, and we go over the same damn thing. Nobody puts any of what I'm saying into your life. And if you want to get critical and in say where you did, that it's all about death, then que sera, sera doesn't work. The universe doesn't work that way. It responds to you. And it isn't, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I can't do anything about that. Oh, I don't, what if? It's true that you can do just about everything about that, should you choose to do so. Does that then in any way affect an open mind or a closed mind? Something you'd be willing to do today, not wait until it's too late?
Yeah, open mind rather than a closed mind, yeah.
But we go over the same things that we've gone over 20 years ago. Then all I say then, I guess, you're not putting, and I don't really care, I mean, except that I don't want to fight it out with three or four people every week and then come on Monday and feel that everybody's listening, but they don't do anything. If you don't do anything, then the universe can't respond. It's like going to Sunday to church on Sunday doesn't mean squat. So, I then asked and have been asking for 4 or 5 weeks, has loner self and body, the authority of self and the stem self and some of this other stuff add any new dimension to your life? Let me back up for a question. Does the fact that the universe only reacts such that it reacts to your command by action, not by voice, does that add a dimension to your life? If it does, if in what we're talking about here, how does loner body and self add a dimension? Or how does the authority of self? I'm getting tired of talking about the authority of self. We've been going over that. We haven't gotten past page 3. Maybe that's my fault. I don't know. But does the authority of self mean anything to you?
Yes, and
I've only got you to talk to, I guess, because I guess Andrew's not here and nobody else wants to talk. Anybody can jump in any time.
Did you get advance word that Andrew wasn't calling tonight?
No, Sally called in, so I just assumed that Andrew wasn't there.
Okay. The other thing I was thinking about today, around the loner body, that for some reason or other, I get really protective about the loner body not being me. And I was playing with some ideas, a model that would help me maybe set this aside and let the loner body be a loner body and not be me. And I thought I might try out with you, for instance, that we could talk about my 1939 Ford. And maybe if you went along with it, probably not, but you could talk about your 1932 Ford, your little goose coupe. But it was more important for me to set aside, and I could talk about my car and recognize that I was talking about my life that's being lived by the loner body. But it would be easier to talk about that, I think, than saying this loner body isn't me or it's not mine. And I was just trying to find a device that would help me lever away from this damn attachment that needs to be there.
Let me see if I get. Let me see if I get this. I ask you: has loner body and self opened a new dimension for you? And then you want to talk about getting rid of the loner body, and that you want to do that by talking about a 39 Ford. Where did I go wrong?
I don't know if you went wrong anywhere. I'm trying to point out that for whatever unreasonable reason, I seem to have held on to the notion that, or hard to separate myself out and say that this body's not me and it's not mine. And I can say the words, but there's no real direct association with it. You know, but I feel myself standing apart from this loner body.
So what happened to what if? I mean,
yeah,
for Pete's sakes, he was just talking about what if, and you guys let things go. You don't understand that the whole thing, everything he says is important and builds up to what he's saying. So you have to hold on to what's been discussed before. You've got to make those connections. If you're having problems with the loner body, then you go, okay, fine, I'm having problems with the loner body, so I'll just go to what if. What if what he's saying is what's going on? What's so hard about that?
I guess there really isn't anything all that hard to do. And it's just, you're right, I didn't transfer what I was speaking about just 10 minutes ago.
But you're trapping yourself in... What did I ever say about going to a guru with a full cup?
That you prep for, pour fresh stuff in, and in time it will wash out all the other stuff.
And I have said a dozen times, you cannot let go of your stuff, because if you let go of your stuff, you've got nothing, and the universe abhors a vacuum, so it fills your let-go stuff right back up with the same old stuff. All I've ever said is don't bother letting go. Don't struggle to quit smoking. Don't struggle to quit alcohol. Don't struggle to do any of these things. Do something new. So look at your esteemed body or self, and if, like Miss M says, you say, well, what if? And then beginning putting that what if into your life. Now, I've said all these things many, many, many times. That seems to me to mean that you don't want to let go of your loner body. You don't want to change anything at all, which is just fine. And it is then that you have no need to change. Well, I just keep doing my loner body. Whatever happens, you know, que sera, sera. And this applies to everybody. And then I'm supposed to struggle up against that. All I've ever said just is to live the self you truly desire. Don't bother even 1 ounce of time trying to get rid of what you don't desire. You can't judge yourself out of judgments. I've said a dozen times, AA only keeps you stuck where you're an alcoholic that can't drink. Well, that's it. You're an alcoholic. You can't solve that. Instead of living to be that you're not an alcoholic or you're something else, or, well, I'm a smoker that can't smoke. Of course you can't get out of that problem that way. I'm a loner body and I don't like this thing. Well, then do something else. You can't just think about it. You've got to let's say, what if for a moment, and then begin doing the what if. All the words out there, oh, you can't get along while hanging on. That's language shit that doesn't mean anything. You got to empty your cup before you can put any more into it. And that's not true. And so we go to meditation to learn how to empty yourself or do other things in order to clear the way. I think I've said this before, haven't I?
Yeah, a couple times at least.
Yeah, a couple dozen times. But there we are. Then if I say, well, then you'd obviously don't want to change, that's not an accusation. That is in that a this follows that.
Are you trying to say it's an observation?
Yes. And then if you defend that even more so, then I can say, well, it's obvious then that you really, really, really don't want to change. Well, yeah, I want to change. Well, what are you doing about it? Well, I don't know. I'm trying to empty myself. That's not change. That's emptying yourself. That's language crap.
Yes. And I'm all bound up in, we don't want to change. I don't want to change.
And you not only don't want to change, let's assume that's the case, but if we play what if, and let's say you only command the universe by your actions, and if you want to then continue, you've got to action that for the universe to offer you that. If you don't action that, then you will not continue. You may have another life, but you will not be you. You will have no sense of continuing in this life, no awareness of continuing in the next life, and what you're going through now, you'll go through all over again.
And there is a you.
What?
There is a you.
No, no, no. That's what you want. You want that there is a you that will continue regardless. I've said before, that's not going to happen. If you want a you, if you want a you that continues, then you have to live that continuing you right now.
Can we just pause for a moment then, because this is an extraordinarily important point for me, that the you that you were speaking of just 35 seconds ago, that said that you, it you don't change in the next lifetime, you could have a next lifetime, and it will be, you'll go through all the same stuff again.
And that's exactly what will happen. There'll be a next lifetime, and you'll go through the same damn thing, and you'll have no relationship to any continuing whatsoever. So, you might as well say you didn't continue, because now you're Charlie Smith.
And I would like to know, what is the you that you're referring to?
If you, let me back up here a little bit. If you are a, quote, spiritual being, can you be anything in the universe? Can you do anything in the universe?
No.
So there is a spiritual being, then there is no, essentially, there is no you. Is that right?
It's not consolidated and particularized enough to become a you.
So there is no you, there is no self, there is no nothing, per se. There is something, but we don't know what that something is, and it appears to be so obtuse or so expansive that it is like an electron that is something but is nothing.
We know it's around there somewhere.
That's right. It's something. So, your parents then... give, not your parents, your body's parents, that your parenting, or parents, okay, create a body for you so that you can be you, for that not you, so that you can be you.
For the not you, that can be...
a something you.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
It's just... anybody, so that you can be a something. Now, if you're a something, we can talk about then that you is in truth that loner body you.
Yes.
So I can now use the pronoun to mean loner body you. Now we have a you. But the authority of self and stem self and all that other stuff that I talked about is so that loner body you can now change your body, yourself, your beliefs, your memories, IES, and your ways to be as you desire them. Is that so outrageous?
No, it is not outrageous at all.
But if you don't do that, you would then say, I'm still alive, but I'm not living at all as I desire.
Correct.
And if you then were to say, okay, I'm living as I want to live, then I would say, fine, now you're living as your loner body wants to live.
And you've said many times, if that's all right with you, cool, go fill your boots.
Because then, if you have another lifetime, like CJ, well, you've lived as a samurai and a judge and a pilot and Patrick. That's okay. But it's obviously not okay with you. Because you show that you're struggling against being and living that loner body, but you're afraid to do anything about that.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Is that okay?
That's absolutely okay.
Now, if we then go to say that I've given you all this evidence about stem cells, and we know that that if you change your body along with that DNA comes a self that is consistent with the body, and your beliefs and understandings are consistent with that, then it is possible for you to you don't empty yourself and then try to rebuild yourself. You could, just like your stem cells, the cells die and fall off. You can regenerate yourself and not carry the same old programming for every new cell. You carry the program of who you really, truly desire to be. And then the stem cells are reprogrammed according to that, not according to your loner self. Is that okay?
Yeah, and you're talking about right down to the genetic material in the new cells that the body is making contains new code.
And that is the fact that if I look at your genetic, you've got 20,000 genes, let's say, or maybe it's 80, I don't know. But they're all not active. So you could still have the same genetic pattern as you had before, but you turn some things on and some things off, so that the active pattern you're living from 20,000 genes is a whole different pattern. You're not living the pattern of genes that identifies you. You're living what the pattern of the genes that are active in relationship to those that are inactive.
Yes.
Well, if you change yourself only by making a gene active versus maybe it was inactive before, doesn't that mean that in doing that, then your body, which is only reactive in that in any regard, is like the universe, only reacting to your command?
Absolutely. So my body is just as much a part of the universe as the mountain down the road here.
So your body, if you're not commanding it, your body dies. This means that every illness, problem, difficulty in your body is as you've commanded it to be. The problem with that is what you're working with is your parents' problem, not yours in the first place.
Yes, I get that.
And nothing will change unless you do something to command the change to occur. Is that not reasonably correct?
Yes, that unless I do something, I action something different, then the universe will continue responding and reacting.
And so will your body.
Yeah.
You can't think good thoughts, follow affirmations, be a Mr. Nice Guy in your mind. You gotta do something. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You're sure that's okay?
I'm sure it's okay.
Does it mean that you can't wait until after you're dead and then do something?
Yeah, I think that's what it means, yes.
Oh, that means that if you want to continue in life after death, you have to do it now.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Then you have to then put some of these things into your life and see how, what if, or because you can what if yourself until you... And that will begin making changes, but you can what if yourself till you discover in that process the self and life you truly desire. What if I did this? What if I did that? What if I did this? And then you have to follow up the what if with a doing and see what happens.
Yeah. The what if is the first part of the process.
Well, what it allows you to do is you can try it out.
More than in my mind.
More than in your mind. It's in your mind, and then you get to try it out. You're not and if you try it out in a what-if attitude in that way, then you're not condemned with what you've tried out.
No. Absolutely.
What if your whole life today, that was the only process that was going on? You're saying, you're living your life today as Patrick in a what if.
You mean I'm already doing it?
Well, you're doing it, but you don't understand you're doing it. You think that this is your only choice, so you have to keep doing it. This is it. It's been what if since the beginning. From the beginning, you got a loner body. What if? Is this the life you want to live? No! Well, what if you then made another choice and lived a different way? What if? What if? What if?
So somewhere quite early on, is it the suggestion here then that somewhere quite early on in this Patrick's lifetime, I was looking at is this the life I want to live? And I said,
No, not necessarily that you were doing that. You could say that you live, thank God I got a loner body, I got a body. And then you live that, and from that point on, you feel it's your obligation to continue living that.
Well, and I was going to suggest that I also, at some point, or that it wasn't the life I wanted, but I had no idea what to do about it.
Correct.
And the obligation to carry on.
Correct, because all the language teachings say you're not your body, but they really don't go any further than that, and they keep you bound to your body, because your body was sacred, given to you by God.
And you cannot do anything about it, it's a sin.
The only thing you can do is find out what God wants you to do, and then you can do that. Isn't that stupid?
Yep.
So from the very get-go, you get a loner body. Why do you get a loner body, do you think?
Because in the absence of a loner body, I cannot act and command the universe.
So then you got a loner body so you could act and command the universe as you desire. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a fact, yeah.
But what happens if you follow cause and effect or continue living a loner body and a life just because, well, that's what people are supposed to do, and it isn't anything you want? Aren't you commanding the universe and your body to be and function in a way, in a manner you don't even want?
That's exactly what's going on.
And then you did that in this lifetime, did you not?
Completely.
All right. Then you're in a double bind. You want to continue, but you don't want to continue as you are, and you're afraid to do anything about it.
Familiar.
So then, if all of this comes about only based on what you do or don't do, doesn't this sort of hint at, if you want to continue, if you don't do your continuing now, then you won't continue. You will have, let's say, a life again, but there is no you that will have that life, or you that will experience any ounce of continuing it at all.
Okay, got a question. What distinguishes one kind of doing from another?
Wait a minute, I didn't hear you.
What distinguishes one kind of doing that will continue versus a doing that will not continue?
I'm going to go back 20 years. If you only do those things that you'd be willing to do eternally, then the sum total of those things is a you that you'd be willing to be and live eternally, and that then in doing those things, you continue in that way eternally. All I then give you is an option of this, because eternally is kind of like a in-between stage here. There's no eternal in that sense, but it's there simply because of language. Now, if you do only those things that you would do universally as a universal being, then you see, then that's your that then determines. There is no universal action that you must do. There's no eternal way of being and doing, regardless of what J.C. said. He's full of shit. There's no eternal good, right, better, best moral thing to do. Life is about you. It's whatever you would be willing to be and do eternally or universally.
What if here that in living a whole bunch of stuff that I wouldn't ever want to do eternally, I in fact end up living that eternally?
You wouldn't live that eternally unless you wanted to live that eternally. If you're coming at religion the back door, you'll be punished eternally.
I'm thinking that you mentioned a while ago that in living the struggles that I live now, if I don't do anything different, it's possible I have another life.
You will live those struggles, but it won't be you.
It won't be me.
But you'll still have the same problem.
The struggles will continue.
Is what? Yes.
The struggles continue.
Now, let's assume that's the case. Could you take the struggles will continue eternally with or without you, or it'll be another you that's not you doing that? And
yep.
I forgot what I was going, where I was going to go. Pass it. I had something glorious in mind and I got interrupted in thought and lost.
Sorry about that.
Are we okay?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, so then, what was your question again? So maybe that'll bring it back.
That was trying to see that if in living a bunch of stuff that I wouldn't be prepared to live eternally, living it, wouldn't that continue?
Yes, that would continue. Well, let me discuss this question. I don't know whether I brought this up around here or not. Would you rather know who you are or what you are like?
Interesting question. I think I would like to know what I am like.
Because if I say you are a great and grand spiritual being, you don't know anything, do you?
No, there's no action, no description there.
That's right. And so if I talk about what you are like, okay. Then is it possible what we were saying then in that regard? If you do all of this stuff, then the stuff you didn't want would continue eternally. Then can we say that what you are like continues, but not who you are?
Yeah. Not who you are is part of that stuff that is temporal and will go away.
Because, so then when we say, regenerate your loner body, the loner body merely created a you so that we can even speak about this. Then you could say, allow me this, are you willing to regenerate your body, yourself, your memories, your ways, your behaviors in a way that you like?
I don't know. I thank you for that. That's really, really neat.
But that's what it's all about when I say no matter what action you are about to take, ask yourself, would I be willing to do this eternally? Oh, I remember where I was. Would I be willing to do this eternally in all of that regard?
Uh-huh.
In the same way. It isn't you doing it. The way you do whatever you do is what you are like.
Can you say that again? You'd say it's not what you do.
It's the way you do whatever you do. That's what you're like.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Now, what I tried to do, I just speak eternally. But let me ask you this question. Would you rather live eternally or abidingly? Remember, we're spending this time, and if you ask that, if you wonder about that, then ask yourself, what if I'm eternally? What if I'm abiding? Now, which would you choose?
Abiding has some far more substance to it than eternally. It's sort of like something sticks.
Is it possible to say then that you would rather be abiding than ever be eternal?
It's quite possible to say that, yes.
If I define eternal as recurring, and I define abiding as continuing, which would you choose?
My bias is towards continuing.
What?
My bias is towards continuing.
No, don't say continuing. Your only choice is eternally or abidingly.
Have you defined, okay, abidingly.
Because abidingly, in fact, means never not abiding.
Aha!
So, would you rather live eternally, meaning over and over and over and over again as a different individual, or never not be abiding?
Oh yeah, that's the abiding is far more.
If you're abiding, then you could live anything, anytime, any way, however you want, without losing your abidingness.
Correct.
We okay with this so far?
So far, yep.
I'm trying here, at least as you're going along with me in this, I'm not getting a lot of crap shit back. And I say, why can't we do this on Monday? I was ready to close down Mondays, I'm telling you right now.
Well, that was what it sounded like, that's for sure.
What?
Well, you kicked some real big ass yesterday, I'll tell you. And I think that's, I reacted to your ass kicking.
But why do I have to? I'm tired of that. And I'm going to say then, if you're not going to do anything with this stuff and you don't really care about this stuff because you have no fucking need for this stuff and you don't care about it, it doesn't create enough. Have we not created a whole entire new dimension of understanding as yourself in being and living?
Absolutely.
Then why do I don't want Sundays and Mondays and with other people on Sundays and Saturdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays. I don't want to keep on having to piss all over, and I'm not pissing all over you. I'm pissing all over what you're saying back to me. If I say, shit, you don't want to continue, you say, yes, I do. I say, no, you're not doing anything. Doesn't, in all of this, doesn't it say, if you ain't doing it, then you ain't going to get it. And you obviously then don't want it.
Absolutely correct, Roger.
Well,
absolutely.
I'm tired of, with everybody, going through this. That means that if you want any part of what we've just talked about, you have to do something.
I have to, and I am, and I will continue to.
And if eternally, I tried to tell you, eternally, it's like living another you, which isn't you, but it's the same old crap over and over and over and over again. And what I've been trying to get to is that if you'd start doing anything, we can get to abiding universal being.
Yes, I'm starting, thank gosh, getting some sense of that.
But what I said before then, and you listened and all that, but and responded, then why does abiding not concern itself with continuing?
Because it never ceases to be.
It what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
It never ceases. It's never not abiding, as you said a minute ago.
Never not abiding. You've got to learn in a lot of these conversations to speak in not things. Now, I went over not things a long time ago, but you've got to speak that way. You can't say, pick another word. It's never not abiding.
Similar to never not discontent or never discontenting myself.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you see, we don't do that. That's supposedly bad language or whatever. It's the only true way to speak of some of these concepts is to not follow the pattern of language.
Yep.
As I've said so many times before, language will let you say things that it won't let you do.
Yes, you've said that many times.
So you say, it'll let you say, I want to be continuing. I'm sorry, life won't let you continue. Is that okay?
That's just fine.
It'll let you live abidingly, but you cannot continue.
I love it when that makes sense.
that's what I said. You do not continue. I mean, you don't continue, but you do not continue. That's abiding. Because we hadn't gotten into, at the time I first brought that up, we hadn't gotten into, I'm trying to go step by step by step, and we hadn't gotten into abiding particular universal being.
I figured we'd get there eventually.
But we have to fight our way through the jungle of language. And when you say things in the way you say them without understanding, you completely defeat yourself.
Yep.
You cannot speak of continuing. You have to, this is why I said, well, then use the word continuance. Because you are continuance, you are never not continuing, or use the word abiding, but you're never not abiding.
Is it true then that with continuance, it's a state rather than a thing?
Yes. That's the point of it.
Okay.
So when we talk about an emprise, we can say, you could do the emprise and all of that, and the emprise would continue in memory, but you wouldn't. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because you, the emprise would be the same as it, as you have embodied it, and that goes into memory. But with you, you will get a new body. You, in that regard, will become another lonely person again.
Another which person?
A loner person.
A loner.
A loner person again.
Yeah.
Now,
yes.
Wait just a minute. Let me see if I got this. If your parents give you a body so that we can, so that you can even talk about I, me, my, and mine, and I can say, you can do this, like regenerating yourself however you want. If that is your authority of self, can we then say your life and the universe in which you live is all about you?
It's inescapable. Yeah.
So then it's not about listening to, hey, by the way, I heard that Stephen Hawking has gotten off the idea of the Big Bang, but I didn't quite understand where he went. So, but maybe he's beginning to get some smarts.
Yeah.
But he, from the article I read, he doesn't believe in the Big Bang. It's kind of like no longer talking about continuing, but talking about continuance. So, anyway, but I didn't quite understand the article. It got a little bit, it was a short article, but you had to know what the guy was talking about to know what the guy was talking about. Okay, we okay so far?
I sure am.
And so, I have to go back and in a lot of this, like this, show you that if then the universe is all about you and the universe is only reacting, and it's the universe is, and oh God, we got to discuss one of these days, the universe doesn't mean the only universe. Is that okay?
I'm open to that, sure.
Doesn't mean multiple universes. It means, and it doesn't mean that it is your interpretation of the universe at all. It means that your universe is the universe. Is that okay?
Yep.
Is it all right for, is it all right for simultaneously that my universe is the universe?
Simultaneously, Karen's universe is the universe.
Right.
Okay, yep.
See, that makes no language sense.
Correct.
But that's absolutely the way it is. And I tried to illustrate that with a balloon and etc. That means then the universe can be so planary that it is and as I am and you are and Karen is. And that's okay. That makes completely sense.
I get that. That's how much the universe is about me.
That's what?
That's how much the universe is about me or the universe is about Karen.
The universe doesn't care about you.
But it is about me.
It is about you as you make it about you.
Okay, yes.
Well, you egotistical bastard, do you have to have everything be about you?
Yeah.
You're damn right. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And so, I'm fighting against these language concepts that you keep living over and over and over. Now, you've said yes, 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 yes all along as we go along here. I'm never, ever going to put up with anything that doesn't fit within this pattern in any conversation we have.
I betcha you're going to do that.
Now, that you don't have to live it. I don't give a damn whether you live it or not, but I'm not going to talk to you outside of that pattern. Is that okay?
Yeah. Okay, and I think that's just fine.
Okay, now, what do you suppose would happen if you only talked with yourself within that pattern, or talked to me only within that pattern?
Then that pattern would become very, very real and second nature to me.
And if you did that, do you suppose then that you'd be living that esteemed pattern that you choose?
Yeah.
Now, that's the pattern that all of this is essentially founded on. There's a lot of details. And when you look at one little aspect of it, you must look at each little aspect only within the context of that pattern.
Absolutely. I can see that.
Now, other people are going to give you other patterns, other contexts, but if you want the authority of self in all this, to command the universe, to be able to live within that pattern, you can do something for someone else. It doesn't say you can't do that. You can follow someone else's lead. But as far as your life is concerned, you must live within that pattern if you want to live the authority of self as an abiding universal being.
I get that.
And there is nothing in that whatsoever that says you can't do this, you shouldn't do that, you must do this, or you have to do that. It only creates a pattern for yourself in life that enables you to live the authority of self abidingly as you choose.
Absolutely.
So,
I see no commandments within this whatsoever.
So, then, I will never in a conversation have to put up with, but I thought it was this way.
You've got that.
Because then if you want it to be that way, hey, this pattern says you can have it that way. But if you say it that way, or this is all based on actions, if you think something and don't do something, I'm telling you, then I will say to you, then you don't want that.
That's right.
So, I can say, you can talk to me about continuing, but if you ain't doing that abidingly, you don't want that. Wait just a minute now.
Uh-huh.
Is it possible you never wanted to continue in the first place?
worthwhile considering that, yes.
What if, then, from what we've just said, what if you never wanted to continue in the first place?
That poses the question, then, is what is it I really wanted?
You wanted to be abiding. Follow the frigging pattern.
And so I'm saying that very much that I was aware of my attraction to abiding.
But you didn't know it or bring it to consciousness in your loner body. You not only didn't want your loner body, you sure as hell didn't want to continue that. Well, you didn't even want to continue anyway. You wanted to be abiding.
Yes.
So, when I say, if you ain't doing it, you don't want it, can you stop justifying that you do want that, or you don't want this, or you want something else, and say, maybe, if this is all based on, my whole life is based on what I am doing, and if I ain't doing it, I probably don't want it, then you ask yourself, then maybe what is it that I do want?
That kind of follows. I don't want to be running around not wanting things.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. You mean as an abiding being you can run around wanting things?
Yes.
Well, okay. Let's assume you want something. What are you going to do about it?
Action that puts it into life.
So, it isn't a matter you live your life based on, let's call it religion or science or whatever, and you want something. If you want something, you must live that which you want.
Correct.
If you live what you want, are you that which you want?
Already, yes.
Is that true?
That's true.
Then, is it possible that if you live, if you don't want to continue, but that you want to be abiding, then can we say you better live that abiding?
Yeah. I better live that abiding. That's the want, the big want. I better live it.
You see how it all comes back and each part reinforces everything else. You don't have to, what do I do? How do I solve that? What do I get here? How do I overcome that? Therefore, if you've lived your illnesses into your body, you may not be able to structurally fix yourself, but if you want those illnesses out of your body, then while your physician is working on your treatment, you damn well better live what? What you want.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's no cup too empty, ever.
No, fill it all the time with what I want.
All you have to do is to be and live what you truly desire. And you say to yourself, well, how do I know what I truly desire? Well, you have to take like every little cell of your body, every little action. Is this an action or a thing that I'd be willing to do universally, abidingly?
Yeah.
Eternally. We okay so far?
Uh-huh.
Eternal was a way to practice being universal. It was a way to see what you are doing personally, so you could say, Well, what I you can't get out, ordinarily you can't get outside of yourself to see what you're doing. Oh, wait a minute now. Let's go back a minute here. Would you like to know who you are or what you are like?
Yeah, we went right there, and I would like to know how what I am like.
The only way you're going to truly see and know what you are like is go stand in the position of eternal and see what you are like.
Based on the actions.
Based on the actions. And it doesn't matter what the intentions were prior to the actions. What you are like are what you are actioning. But you can't get outside of yourself, or normally you don't have a place to stand outside of yourself. You do, but you've not experienced that. So I created eternal as a place to stand so that you could observe yourself. And almost all of 14B was awakening your eternal self actively in your life. Most of that was about getting outside of yourself to look at yourself and ways to see what you're doing more succinctly. It isn't the emotion you create, it's the way you create an emotion. It's not the emotion that you create, it's how you respond to that emotion.
So that not the emotion itself, but how I created it.
And how you respond to it.
And then how I respond to that I created.
That's right. And both of those creations are an action.
Aha!
See, it isn't a matter of, oh, I want to feel great and blissful and happy and peaceful, etc. It is, what do you do to do that? Then how do you feel about that? You may not feel so. Do you really, really, really think that you would enjoy feeling peaceful eternally? Or joyful? Or blissful? Or happy?
It's every one of those, the how I created those would probably point to me trying to distract, avoid, overcome.
So then the answer would be no, even if you would want to be peaceful for a while, you wouldn't want to be peaceful, blissful, happy all the time. Can you be anything that you truly desire? Could you feel anything you truly desire if you don't discontent yourself?
Oh, clearly. Clearly, yes.
So then, all of this that we're talking about here, the truth of it can be understood by whether or not you are discontenting yourself.
Yep.
And if you are discontenting yourself, then you know that you're not living by your own authority. Does this process or image or picture or whatever take any authority from you?
Oh, none. It just keeps on.
Well, why haven't you then always lived by your authority?
In a perverse way, I think I have, but I've done it in a way, in a manner that's been twisted and distorted by cultural, religious, beliefs and all that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Could I put in something? I didn't ask you that. Well, you want to argue against me? The question was, what did I ask you? Why have you not?
Why haven't I been using my authority?
Living by your authority.
Okay, the answer is I didn't know I had the authority.
Okay, let's assume that. Or could it be relative to language that if you live your own authority, you have to take responsibility for your actions?
And be judged.
You yeah. see?
Yep.
Well, if that's true, is there anything in the image and context of what I've said so far that says you gotta take responsibility for your actions?
No, nothing like that came up at all.
And nothing of that will come up. This is what you did, and you did that because you'd be willing to do that abidingly. Now, if you don't do what you'd be willing to do abidingly, then there may be some struggles with that. But in living yourself, your authority abidingly, could we say in that regard, what might be the only consequence of living your authority abidingly?
Could you repeat that? I was shooing the dog away for that last 5 seconds.
If you, in this context of what we're talking about, if you only did those things then that you would be willing to do abidingly, what is it possible for you to understand would be the only consequence of your action?
That it would be as I would want to abidingly live.
Oh, really? Then didn't you just diffuse responsibility? Or being responsible for your actions?
It actually makes the concept of that responsibility kind of crazy.
Well, wait a minute. If that is crazy, then what have you got to say about judgments?
Pretty crazy too.
Then the only thing is, in doing that, then you are abiding.
My goodness, yes.
And if you are abiding in that regard, then you can live whomever you want to be and live that abidingly, however you want to live it abidingly.
Absolutely free.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yep. Does that mean then that you, in through entanglements and such as that you could choose any person to be that you wanted to be and live that person abidingly however you want to be?
Yeah. Through access, through entanglement, absolutely.
So then you didn't have to evolve, grow, become, go through, meet the trials and tests, and become that. You can choose to be anybody you choose to be, and be that abidingly.
Absolutely.
Well, wait a minute. We got a thing here. If the universe, and this is a what if the universe only exists in a field of memory, why, then what we call space within the universe is merely a field of memory.
Yep, that follows.
And everything that has ever or does happen or whatever as a thing that happens is stored in memory in the universe. All the knowledge of the universe is stored in memory, and the universe then exists within that field of memory.
Yes.
Do you think it would be possible in this structure that we're talking about, that in being abiding, you could true listen the knowledge or the information out of the memory of the universe, however you wanted it?
Yeah.
In other words, when I say you have access to all the knowledge of the universe, if I say you were a wise, great individual, you have all this knowledge, like they say about Buddha, he has all this crap, you'd be overwhelmed. But is this...
A lot of data and information.
He'd be overwhelmed with that crap.
Yeah, it would be, you'd have a hell of a time sorting it all out.
And that's what... But that's what distinguishes Buddha from anybody else, or a Buddhist-like individual who has all of that knowledge and etc. Would you rather have all of that knowledge, burdened by that knowledge, or have access to that knowledge?
Oh, I'd like to be able to just access it as I see fit.
Okay, then, if we can go there, then if it is stored in memory, why? And that is what we call space within the universe. It's everywhere. Which would mean that no matter where you are, you could access that knowledge that you needed or wanted.
Yes.
Is it possible then that... And we won't, I don't want to get into a discussion of this. Is it possible then that you could truly listen that knowledge out of the universe, out of the memory of the universe, whenever you wanted it?
Yes, it is possible, yes.
But, in that regard, in order to truly listen it out of the universe, you have to be doing something.
Yeah, I don't think you can simply be thinking.
Right, so you have to be doing something. It's kind of like, you're commanding the universe not by listening, you're commanding the universe by doing something.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yep.
If I give you, or you take on, an abiding emprise, then from with that emprise, could you be doing that emprise and through listening the knowledge and information you need relative to that emprise out of the memory of the universe?
Yeah.
If you always did an emprise, is it possible then that that's what you would be like?
Say that again, please.
If you always did an abiding emprise, could we say that in doing that, that's what you are like?
Yes.
Do you see how everything supports everything else?
And, yep. We used to describe forever living as a whole bunch of nested stuff. It's all together.
But that's the point. And everything, But if you don't do that, you're living a scattered bunch of stuff. All of it nesting together doesn't mean then that it's one thing. It just means that, like your cars, a whole bunch of parts function together.
Yes.
Now that's dangerous.
Because what's dangerous?
Having a whole bunch of parts function together. That's dangerous.
Really?
Why might that be dangerous? Your body is a whole bunch of parts functioning together. What happens to your body?
Well, it eventually dies and...
And decomposes.
Decomposes, yeah.
Oh. Now, do you suppose that in living by cause and effect, you are creating infinite number of pieces and parts to your life?
I think that fits the pattern there, yeah.
Then if your life is composed of pieces and parts, then that means that your life and your body, or if yourself is composed of pieces and parts, they all compose and they all die.
I suppose we could say that, yes.
So, entropy then takes any system to its lowest level of stability, and that's death goodbye.
Yes.
If things or aspects of yourself are emergent, is emergent composed?
No, but there's no cause and effect relationship or pieces working together.
So, we could say now you could get some arguments about this and saying, if I put oxygen and hydrogen together, I get water. Is water composed?
No.
Yes, it's composed of oxygen and hydrogen.
Composed in that sense, so that it's not actioned together, is it?
It's composed, but what we've always said is the properties of water are emergent, and the properties of water in emergent are things that like reflection, refraction, wetness, none of that is composed. So, what is emergent in that regard? Not composed, will not decompose.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, will not. Yeah.
Okay, because it's not composed. Can you have a self that is emergent and is therefore not composed and is therefore abiding?
Mm-hmm.
We can say then, where did the self come from? The self came from, let's call it, it was emergent from the DNA of the body.
The loner body?
Anybody.
Okay.
So while the body, loner or otherwise, may decompose and die, and you can compose a self, that would decompose and die, but the self that is emergent from the body in that regard will remain.
Okay, yes.
So, if then, in all of this, you recompose your body as you truly desire, we can then say, yeah, but eventually your body per se will decompose, but yourself will not decompose.
And that as I recompose the body, a different self is emerging, and that will not decompose.
But the self and life as a loner that your parents gave you is in itself all composed. So all of your loner is composed. But can't you make then the self you truly desire abiding in that regard emergent from the restructure or the regeneration of your body?
Yes.
Well, go forth and sin no more.
Yeah.
Now, so the point is, there is a picture of you and life abiding, etc., and so forth, and etc. And anybody that's listening in, that is the fundamental structure and context in which I am always speaking within that context. If you want to talk outside of that context, I'm not interested. You want to tell me what you've experienced? I'm not interested. If you want me to talk into your context, I'm not interested. Is that okay?
Yep. That's fine with me.
Because I'm tired and tired and tired of this burdensome personal. I had 4 conversations this week, and I'm just tired of it. That if you don't want to see and proceed under that banner or context of an abiding, if an abiding universal self doesn't, well, shit, you don't care about that, then don't tune in. We don't want you to even listen. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Well.
Too bad you didn't have a lighted panel. That line 1, line 2, line 3. Then you could just push the button and say, "Off."
Okay, there. Now I'm through talking about that. Does anybody want to talk about anything else or comment about that?
I've got one question that I think just tucking a loose end on the whole concept here is that the embodiment of the universal being that exists but like the electron can't nail it down, does it randomly enters bodies, correct? Is that correct?
I can't answer that question. If I understood your question correctly, I can't understand it. If you are applying if you're applying what we said to an electron, then let's change it for a minute and talk about a photon. If light is both a wave or a particle, could it be that the wave is embodied as a particle?
Yes.
quanta, whatever, or which we then call a photon. A photon is merely like a self that is embodied.
Ah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
So that we can say in that as we can talk about you, we can talk about an electron. But that's only because you, when we talk about you doing something, if an electron was not embodied, it could not affect the physical universe.
Correct.
So, light, if it were not an embodiment of a wave, then light could not affect the physical universe.
Aha!
So all I'm trying to say in the same way is that once we have this pattern, is it possible that then is the pattern or a pattern of the universe that it reacts over and over and over and over again?
Okay, yes.
Or at least in your universe, that becomes then the pattern of your abiding universe that reacts over and over and over again.
Yes.
So, an electron, which is sometimes a wave and sometimes a particle, is in fact only a wave that is particleized or embodied.
Yep.
Oh, okay. And then we can say the same sort of a thing occurs on every level of the universe. Once we have some sort of understanding of that the universe only reacts, then the universe only reacts in a constant and consistent pattern. The universe doesn't have any intention to say, well, I'll react this way over here and that way over there. So there's got to be equivalence of everything that happens in the quantum world. There is an equivalence in the cosmic world, and there is an equivalence in the normal, natural world we live in. Is this okay?
Yeah, that's just great. That really fills out my picture. Thank you.
Okay, well, I don't know if we got anybody else on here. Nobody said anything, so I guess that's okay. So, well, if that's the case, we'll close it off for tonight.
That's wonderful, Roger. Thank you very, very much.
Now, if you don't do anything about it, don't bitch. And don't sit around saying, hey, I want to continue, goddammit. Don't pray to the Lord. Okay.
All righty. Good night.
Good night for now.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.